Let's turn to, before we find number 19, where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Oh,
his name is
wonderful.
We'll sing that, but I want to leave that there. Let's go back to the chorus book and do something number 78, or 79 and 80. And we'll just sing those two. Chorus book. You want to sing first, or we find it on
page 31.
Braille page 31. Yeah. 79. Bind us together. Bind us together, sing it, and then we'll practice our closing chorus. We are one and one. Okay.
Thank you.
seen in these days. And that's a part of the program that says, there's a guy here who plays the piano who hasn't played a solo yet. And so I would like to ask Grant if he'd, I'm warning him ahead of time, if he would play a piano solo for us. He's shaking his head. No. You know, folks, God has used Grant in tremendous ways. And I appreciate him.
Amen.
Amen.
And I know you do.
Yes.
And the ministry that he has is one that touches your lives, some of you more than others. And I'm thankful for him because I see God using him. And he's used him. It's interesting, I've had the experience with Grant. When he got a handle on a certain part of God's Word and the truth of God's Word, and it started to change his life. And that's when he got a hold of the fact that he was in Christ. And I've seen the things that God has been able to do through him and his service to the Lord. And you know, he serves the Lord just like a pastor does every day. He gets up in the morning and he's busy doing different things on the net and that sort of thing. And it's a blessing to me, and I think it's worthy of our stopping for a moment to say thank you, Lord, for Grant. And thank you, Lord, for Judy, who's your support. Because she tolerates him.
Well,
you know, sort of that. And I think we haven't done this since I've been here, but I think we can. I think we just ought to take a moment and just say, let's pray for a moment and just be full of thanks for this one to be here. We wouldn't be here if God hadn't said, Grant, you've got a job to do, and he's done it. So let me lead you, and we'll pray and thank the Lord for taking this servant of Jesus Christ and using him to affect our lives. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of Bartimaeus Alliance for the Blind and for Grant and his willingness to serve in this way. There are so many things that are required of this and the busyness of it. And he tires and he sometimes can be discouraged, and we're thankful that he continues to look to you for where you want him to go and how he relates. For the thousands of lives that have been touched through the website and then the lives that have been touched here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we appreciate the privilege of knowing him and sharing with him in Christ's name.
Amen.
Now for the soul.
Thank you very much, but you've been with life.
Yeah.
I usually do my communion.
Oh, I remember what you did once. You did one time three verses of if I never had Jesus. How did that go?
I don't know.
Jesus, if in the storm tossed. He used to sing, is what I'm saying.
He used to sing.
Yeah, you did. I remember.
I don't know.
But I don't remember the song.
Let's begin. And you know, the Lord's table, we'll do our communion song. That would be good. But let's do our basic.
You have a potential to be living in that by the strength of the Holy Spirit. And then we have this opportunity to manifest something of the other world. That is, in the third heaven, where we have our residence in Christ, from your perspective. We're waiting for that residence to be complete. And in the rapture, and our cot being caught up to meet him in the air. We're thankful for each person of the Godhead. And as we've talked about two of them, we now focus on that third person, the Holy Spirit. May he be the one who helps us teach about himself. And then we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I trust that the time we've spent together has been edifying. That's the reason that I'm here. And the reason I think God has brought Barnaby and us together. To build up the saints. Some of you have maybe thought, this guy is a seminary professor and he's been a little over our heads sometimes. It doesn't hurt you to have a little longer necks. A little stretch doesn't hurt anybody. And there is material that I've shared with you that has a lot of backdrop in the scriptures. I've tried to boil it down so you can understand it more easily. I hope you understand your eternal life. I hope you understand your new nature and how that works as a quality of the divine nature. I hope you understand being born again and what it means to have God birth you. I appreciate the privilege of thinking in these terms. I trust you are thankful for being in the family of God. I trust that you understand, and we'll work it again today and even more, that our bodies are the temple of the persons of the Godhead. They indwell us. They are in us. The Father is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Son is in me. Three in me. And me in three. And if that little formula that I've used to introduce this will help you understand what it means to be a Christian, it was worth the time that we spent together. If you carry that with you and think in those terms, why am I a Christian? What does it mean for me to be a Christian? Wherever I go, whenever I go, it's not what I don't do. It's not where I go to church. It's not how I misbehave or behave, but it's because God has done a work and I can let him do it in me, not just from the moment I was saved, but he does it in your present tense salvation right now. He is a performing and a work in you. And if you let him do it and you remove yourself, and I'm going to use an illustration I've avoided throughout this week, and that is, you know, Dr. Schaefer and I taught for a long time. Most of you have never met Dr. Schaefer. Some of you read some of his booklets. And Dr. Schaefer was telling about a time he was building. And he was working with, I think he was framing. He was putting up the frame, or assembling the frame and nailing it together. Well, his son was with him, and he wanted to help him. So what did he do? Dr. Schaefer went and got a block of wood and a handful of nails, and took that block of wood and a handful of nails and a hammer and took his son and sent him off to the side, and he says, here. And so his son was over there pounding the nails in the board. What a great help he was to his dad. He was out of the way. He was out of the way. And that's kind of like it is in our spiritual life. If we get out of the way, God can do the work. And I've said that several times. Get out of the way so God can do the work. He's giving you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness, and you have to let the Holy Spirit activate those things as you have your mind out of the way in the third heaven. And that's why I quoted the words that we sang at Valley of He Looked Beyond My Fall. Made near to God. How much nearer can you be than at the right hand? Seated in the heavenlies. In Christ I died. That's perfect. Was buried. I was raised. And we won't go through all of those again, but it's really essential. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, many of you are very familiar with this passage. It says, or Christ said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter of the same kind. The word another is a Greek word that has the idea another of the same kind. It's the same word that God uses when he tells us we are to love one another of the same kind. Now, there's another word that says another of a different kind. And so he says, I will give you another comforter of the same kind, that you may that he may abide with you forever or into the age. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. And the word know is experientially knowing. The minute you're saved and involved, here the disciples were anticipating a day where there was an intimate personal knowledge of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was still in heaven, and he says, this knowledge of him will continue. You know him in Christ, and then they will know him at Pentecost. For he dwells in you and shall be in you. It's interesting the shift there. He dwells in you. This is before the cross, before he sins. He has a dwelling relationship with the disciples before Pentecost. And it says he will be in you. This another of the same kind of comforter is there, and he is there for a purpose. The word comforter is a Greek word paraclete. And I don't feel bad using that Greek word, because you have heard that Greek word many times, I think, in your churches. The paraclete. And this is another paraclete. Christ was the first paraclete in his earthly ministry with his disciples. And now the Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus Christ to be the paraclete. Para is alongside. Kletos comes from the verb to call alongside. And the word comforter, it really means encourager, and I mentioned this earlier. It's translated exhort, it's translated comfort. And the common concept is encourage. And you have an onboard encourager. You do. We do. All of us do if you're believers. An onboard encourager. And he's always there. And you say, well, I get so down, I need encouragement. Well, don't pray for encouragement. Let the Holy Spirit encourage you. He's already there. And when you think in those terms, it is just amazing. It helps level some of those ups and downs that we have in our spiritual lives. Because he has an ongoing ministry. He is the one who has all the power in our lives. He has dynamic power. He has manifest power. He has an energy that he provides to sustain us in the realm of spiritual things. And so that becomes very, very important to us. And when he says he shall be in you, and that shall be in you took place when he was sent at the day of Pentecost. And he is here now, and he was in the disciples after that, and he is in you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior at this point. And so that's so important to us as we understand it. And so he is the person of the Godhead who's resident on earth today. You say, what are you talking about, resident on earth? I don't know where the Holy Spirit house is. You know, I have no idea. And what is interesting, he is on earth, he's resident here, and you know where he's resident? He's resident in temples. He lives in temples. And God knows how many temples are here. He lives in you, and your body is the temple, and that's where he dwells, that's where he lives. It's kind of interesting, the idea of residency. Right now, Christ is seated at the right hand, and two persons of the Godhead are in heaven, in the third heaven. We have God the Father and God the Son there. It's always interesting as you go through this, the way the scriptures flow, as to where the persons of the Godhead are resident. Now, which person of the Godhead had residency between the cherubim? The Son. I was waiting for somebody to say Jehovah. And it's interesting. Jehovah is Jesus. Generally, you have to be real careful with that, but that's generally true. And so the Son was manifest here in the Holy of Holies. He was in the cloud in the wilderness. He was in the pillar of fire. And so we can understand that. Now, what's important about residency? Well, if you were a spirit being and you wanted contact with a God who is everywhere and beyond the universe, how would you find out where to begin contact with a God like that? He's there all over the place, but you can't perceive where he is. So God has established a place of residence somewhere for each person of the Godhead. So if an angel wants to relate today to the Father, it's in the third heaven. That's where they will find a manifestation of his person. Are these words making sense? Okay, if they want to see the Son right now, they'll see the manifestation of his person at the right hand. You realize with the rapture, the Holy Spirit will be at the, I don't know what you want to say, the left hand, but he's going to be seated on the throne. And all three persons will be there, and they want to access any one of them. They'll all be in the third heaven. But today, they access the Holy Spirit through you. And don't ask me how, I don't know. I have this little thing I say at Valley, and that is, I want one more verse than I can tell you. And I just need one more verse to tell me, so it works that way. But that's how it works. That's the thing of residency is where the person is emphasized, so created beings can relate to him. And he's on earth today. When I say he's in our bodies, we talked about it when we talked about the temple in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, don't you know that your body is the temple? What is that word, temple, again? Oops, Jeff, here. I'm hearing mumbling. What am I hearing? Temple. What are we talking about when we say temple?
The body.
The body.
Body, yes, that's what I just read. When we use the word temple, what does it refer to? Remember, there are two words for temple.
The house, the place.
House, place, no, that's not what I'm looking for. In Scripture, you have two words for temple. One that deals with the whole temple grounds. Okay, that set you up. I'm get the picture down.
The Holy of Holies.
The Holy of Holies, where God's presence is. We do not value what we're talking about when we talk about your bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't value that. You know, if you realize when in Israel there's a tradition that said when the high priest went in on Yom Kippur, as Israel got more and more wicked, the tradition was they tied a rope around his legs so when God zapped him, they could drag him out.
Sanctuary is this?
Sanctuary is the word holy. Sanctus, sanctuary, and so our bodies are where God dwells, so it's the Holy of Holies of God. And it's kind of, it's kind of interesting. I'm glad you didn't see my gesture. Because really, the core is in our minds, in our heads. I have my hands over my chest and my heart. And he is resident in our bodies. And so we need to be well reminded of that. And the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father and the Son to be what? The comforter, the encourager, the onboard encourager. And he's the one that's the first person that does the action, even though the other two persons involved. He's the one who makes it possible for us to live eternal life out. Live out the life of Christ. He's the one that makes it possible for us to manifest the quality of the divine nature. To live in the new nature. He is the active agent, the active person. He does so many things for us. When you start thinking about the ministry of the Spirit, a lot of people don't like some of his ministries. He seals us.
Amen.
When it says he seals us, he is the seal. And if you can take away the seal, you've got a problem. You're dealing with the Godhead. He is the seal. He is the down payment. He's the earnest. He's the one that guarantees that we're going to get our future tense salvation. His presence here will get us to the rapture and to heaven with the whole benefits package intact.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of that, that down payment or earnest is a term that we have in our authorized version. He fills us. Filling. Remember Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled by the Spirit. So be not drunk with wine. So that's a passive. And be filled. Let somebody else fill you with the Holy Spirit. You cannot, by any gyration or any mechanism or by any mantra, be filled by the Spirit because you've done anything. It's a passive. God has to do it. I know a lot of people are trying to be filled by the Spirit by practicing certain kinds of things, and they are never filled. I don't care what kind of expression they have. When we understand that. So what is filling? Filling is making up a deficiency. Making up a deficiency. Since you're not deficient, I guess I'm the only one he does that with. No, we all know, we understand we have so many deficiencies. And that's part of his ministry with us. We saw this after this morning. He produces fruit. He produces the fruit, which is a character of Christ that we have because of our birth. He leads Christians. We talk about the leading of the Spirit. And I quoted earlier Galatians 5:16. You know, being led by the Spirit is a way that if we're led by the Spirit, what happens? We do not bring to completion even once the lust of the flesh. Some of you are acquainted with Dallas Seminary. And Dallas Seminary president for many, many years was a fellow named John F. Walbert. Walbert was in his 90s when he was dying, and on his deathbed, they knew time was close, and the president of the seminary, and a person you may recognize, a writer well-known, Howard Hendricks, was there. So the Mark, I'm trying to remember his last name, but anyway, the president and Howard Hendricks were with Dr. Walbert not long before he died. One of them asked him, if you had one thing that you wanted to tell Christians before you die, what verse of scripture would you give? And I was so blessed when I heard it. He said Galatians 5:16. And that is, be led by the Spirit. And then you have that form I've quoted a number of times. I never, ever... with a double negative and in that matter. And so he leads spiritual Christians to be led. It's interesting that when he leads you, you follow. It's his direction. You know, if I asked some of you to lead me somewhere, some of you could get me to the dining hall, but if I took away your cane and you tried to lead me, what would happen? We would share in probably a mutual catastrophe. Because you have a circumstance where you need to be led often. If you didn't have your dogs, those who have dogs, what a blessing from God. But if you didn't have it and you were to try to lead someone else, what would you do? The best part of it is you'd be the one to hit the wall first, as it were, because you're leading on that. And I really love y'all in that matter. But see, the leading of the Spirit, you have to depend on the one who leads. And that's one of his ministries. Another ministry is this intercession. It's interesting, we have a heavenly intercession, an intercessor in Jesus Christ. He intercedes. What is intercession? It means standing in between God and someone or something in communication. Intercession always involves a known circumstance, a known need. Supplication is for unknown, but intercession is known. And so Christ intercedes, and his intercession is that which keeps us safe. Amen. When Satan waves the fickle finger of fate and says, look at what that guy or that gal did, and they're going to your children, and Christ is the one who... I mean, the Holy Spirit intercedes. Christ is the one who intercedes and says, look, I died for that. You can accuse the brethren all day long, and I died for it. That's your Savior. He's an intercessor there. And then the Holy Spirit intercedes in that he is the one who takes what we want to say and don't allow to the full throne. In other words, we're communicating with God, and he communicates with Scripture, W-A-B, is he communicates with groanings that cannot be uttered. I mean, so we want to articulate something, we want to say something, and we're in a spot, and we ran out of words, we ran out of thoughts, and we still didn't say what we wanted to say, and the Holy Spirit stands in between us and God and communicates what we really, really want to say. Kind of interesting when you have a person of Godhead that takes some of your communication and makes it work. And that's a blessing. And of course, intercession is one of the things we do. And we stand in for others. Then he provides this renewedness of mind that we have. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and the Holy Spirit does that. Now, we know that he is present as the divine author of Scripture. You know, it's interesting when you think about it, and I hope you all have, as you know the Lord, you realize that you have a relationship to the Holy Spirit, who was the divine author of Scripture, and he is the divine teacher of that which he authored.
Amen.
And so it's amazing when you have the right one who wrote the book, as it were. And he's the one that took the words of every human writer and selected the exact words in that human being's vocabulary, and he had them write it down, and they wrote it down, and he chose everything in how they communicated. He didn't dictate to them, but he worked in their minds so they used the exact words that he wanted. The exact words. And so he used that the words so that we can understand them. That, I mean, I believe the Holy Spirit verbally inspired Scripture. Every word. I study Greek. I study Hebrew. Why? Because the Holy Spirit not only had picked the words, but he picked the forms of the words. And I say, well, this word has an article in front of it, or this one doesn't. He picks every word, and he picks every form. When I said there is this, you know, you will not even once bring to completion the lust of the flesh, is a paraphrase, bring to completion out of Galatians 5:16. He picked that form, every part of it. And so I study it because God has led me to do it, and I'm gifted as a pastor teacher, so I can help you understand some of it. You know, when he says, for by grace you are saved. That's a passive. God picked the passive. Someone else saved you. You didn't save yourself. You can't save yourself. It's absolutely impossible. And God picked those words. And the Holy Spirit is the one who worked in the minds of the believer. And I like to call it inscripturization. And 1 Peter talks about the bearing along. He carried along mentally the prophets. And that's what happened. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry, one of the Holy Spirit's ministry. And his ministry was promised. Christ said when he was on earth, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you do not have the power to bear them. They didn't have the ability to understand them. I think he could say that again, even now. That's what I'm looking forward to in heaven. I keep looking for one more verse. I want a little bit more information. I am so curious when it comes to what Scripture teaches beyond those verses. I can speculate, but I don't want to speculate. I like the authority of God's Word.
Amen.
And that's important for me. And my mind is one of those inquisitive minds that is always asking questions. And that helps me understand God's Word, because I end up going all over the place and I do lots of pages of research and work when I work. The Holy Spirit will be present to Christians. 16:13 of John says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
It doesn't say he'll guide you into some truth. He's going to guide you into all the truth you need to know to survive on planet Earth. That's pretty good. That means means you will see things as God sees them. Truth, that's what it means. To see things like God sees them as they really, really, really are. And so he's going to do that. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. And so that was his ministry. And it's interesting how you see that effective throughout the New Testament. But who does he glorify? In John 16, Christ says, he will glorify me.
Amen.
He glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. For he shall receive of mine and will show it unto you. The word I just read, show, is a word that we are acquainted with around Easter and Christmas. You need to check and see if you're waiting. You know, those are two holidays on our calendar. In the church, you know, we are introduced in both of those circumstances to angels. The word angel is a transliteration of the Greek angelos. The word angel means messengers. And it's rather interesting. The verb means to announce a message. To announce a message. That is a word that I just read that's translated, he shall show it to you. He will announce a message to you. He'll deliver the message, and because of who he is, you're going to get it right. We never did quite, or Herman never did quite figure out how he had that dental appointment yesterday. Some of you didn't hear, you know, he didn't make it to lifeguard yesterday. And somehow we got the message that he was had a dental appointment of some kind and couldn't make it after the fact. You know, I don't know, my dentist schedule's in advance, so I kind of wondered what happened with it. And I was talking to him, and he said, no, I went on a tour and was up in Sacramento, and they didn't get back when I said they would. So, you know, that's not a very good message. You went to the dentist. He felt better for not having that message, of course. But that was a message. And here it says here in the scripture, he will announce it to you as a message. And so he has this emphasis upon the Son. The person who is resident on earth is glorifying the Son and giving us the information concerning his Son, the Son. We looked at all the references to Christ. And we did that one time we talked about titles. I like that popcorn session we had. So many of you just grabbed the title so quickly. And I hope you dwell on those titles. You know, someday you're bored and you want to sit down. No, don't be bored. You don't need to be bored. When you don't have, you're maybe even in your devotions, just sit down and think through the titles you know. And think about them. Why is he called the bread of life? You know, the sustainer by bread. Why is he called the living word? You know, you think through these terms. Because the Holy Spirit, when you think of that term often, will, in his encouraging a ministry, encourage you through a title of the one that he glorifies. I've worked for many, many years on material that probably will never get published. I'm over the hill for getting published. And I mean, having time to get some books published. I have manuscripts that are done, not quite done. And I would like to do one on titles. By that I mean the New Testament use of the titles of the Godhead. Why does it say Jesus Christ instead of Christ Jesus? Why does it say the Lord of us, Jesus Christ? And the different emphases. There's a whole lot there. But when you think of these other titles, you know, it really is an encouragement, and the Holy Spirit will guide us through those titles to a focus on the one he glorifies. I'd like to think there are times, and I know it's happened from time to time in my life, when I think on a title, and I'm walking through the day, and I had that light shine on it earlier, and then I just can't let go. You know, it's like one of those melodies you can't get rid of. No, why is it we get some of these dumb songs that we can't get out of our minds? You know, they just go on and on and on, and you say, man, I got to get rid of it. And you do whatever you do. You get in the shower, and you're singing it. And you say, I don't want to sing this. I mean, and when I said dumb, there are some pretty ridiculous things that go through our head. I do that with some of the Christian songs. They get going through my head, and I know they're half heresy. You learn more heresy in Christian hymn books than you do in a lot of other books, in that matter. You get them going, and they're going through your head, and I realized not too long ago I had a song that was going through my head, and it was really and blasphemous concerning the Holy Spirit in his person. You know, he was a mode of the Godhead instead of a person of the Godhead. I said, you know, I remember that song was like that. And that happens. But the Holy Spirit does a work. He's going to glorify the Son. And he announces the things of the Father and the Son. And we're in John chapter 16. And his ministry is based on revelation. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:10, God has revealed them to us, that is, the things of God to us, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. If I ask every one of you, as individuals, to write down on a piece of paper, or in some point communicate it to me, what you understand is the deep things of God, I dare say we have quite a variety in this room. And some of the things that you would call deep things are elemental. When I say elemental, they're ABCs. That's just the way it works. And then there are things that are not so deep, but they're deeper than the elementals, the ABCs of Hebrews 5. These kinds of things. And then the deep, but it's interesting, depending where you are, what you consider deep. If you seriously relate to God's Word through the Spirit of God, they will cease to be as deep, and you will find there's even deeper. And deeper and deeper. And we're talking about just taking Scripture for what it says. And as long as I have been saved, it's so interesting, I'll come to a passage of Scripture that I've studied so often. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, it's time for you to learn how this fits. And there's this puzzle piece that might put a whole corner of the puzzle together that all of a sudden I'm ready for, and he teaches it to me, and I mature because of his active work of teaching in my life. And First Corinthians 2 is the teaching passage. I'm reminded that we have some help with teaching. I mean, if you were summa cum laude, instead of laude valcum, if you were, you know, these are, that didn't work. Susan got it, nobody else did. Summa cum laude, magna cum laude, and cum laude, these are all honors in college. And when you say you got through college and you got out laude valcum, you wonder how you made it. Okay, I had to explain that one. I didn't dare leave that. So many of us graduate with laude valcums. You know, how in the world are to be? Okay, thank you, Susan. I'm glad you were paying close attention. We have this intellectual. You don't have to have, you know, this kind of mental ability. The Holy Spirit knows where we are, and he individually tailors his teaching. You have a divine teacher that meets you where you are. This week, I hope you pick the things you can understand. I hope you haven't said, well, I don't understand certain things. I'm confused. I'm confused. And you pick certain things, and then you get all flabbergasted and miss everything else. I have taught in many, many years of ministry. I've been a pastor for 40 years plus. And in that time, I've had kids, young children that are saved and been able to just save. Of course, I'd rather teach somebody just saved sometimes than somebody who's been saved 60 years and still a baby. Because they will grow, things will happen. God does things in their lives. And God always meets His child where they need to be. I mean, this is better than homeschooling. It's personal schooling. And He will teach you where you are. And so you say, well, I don't understand some of these concepts about regeneration. Remember what you can catch. And let the Holy Spirit teach you. And as you grow, you will become one who knows, as He tells you what you need and He teaches us. And am I thankful for that? Takes away the responsibility I have. It's my responsibility to teach. I mean, be the teacher, the primary teacher. I'm in trouble. And I teach hours and hours and hours every year. And that teaching, whether it's in a grad school, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a program with the evening school where I have kids and adults, wherever it is, I know the Holy Spirit, if I present the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can be the one who teaches it. And I can explain things and that kind of thing, but the one who really teaches the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to think that the Holy Spirit pushes my buttons so I teach something that is for you. I hope that the Holy Spirit has touched you with some of this information because He pushed my button to say something that would be what you need for this conference. And that's why I talk about divine appointments in this manner. And that's important. 1 John 2:27 talks about Him as the one we have an anointing that dwells within us, received of Him. He said, you have no need that any man teach you. I like that. My gift is pastor teacher. And I spend hours all these years. I've taught seminary for 35 years. And I teach and teach and teach, but I'm thankful that the one who really does is the Holy Spirit. And I can teach Greek and I can teach Hebrew and I can teach all of this kind of stuff. But the things that are important are what the Holy Spirit teaches. And just because there's somebody that's in my classroom in seminary that has a master's degree, but sitting before me as a student because he has a secular master's degree and he has a gift of pastor teacher and he wants to be trained for ministry, just because he's there doesn't mean he has any bigger a break than you in that information. Because the Spirit knows where we are. That's grace. That's grace. If we didn't understand that, and I mean, you don't have to know everything, but you need to know what He wants you to know and let Him teach you. You've got to get out of the way to let Him teach you. You have that indwelling teacher, and that's so important in this matter. I've talked about comfort, and that's what is, I think, kind of key as we relate to the Spirit. He is our teacher, and He's the one that encourages. I believe that the way He encourages is through the way He teaches. I don't believe that He's going to come out of the blue and encourage you without having some root to the revelation that He's presented. More often, think of how often that verse of Scripture came to your mind that you didn't even remember you knew. You say, well, I know this verse. Somewhere I've heard it. I think I heard it some Sunday in the last 2 years, and it's in my mind, and I don't remember quite where it is, and all of a sudden there are a couple phrases of that verse that hit you between the eyes, and it meets the need perfectly. Just absolutely perfectly. And you say, I don't know how that came to mind. But you're in a relationship to the Holy Spirit that He brought, and He took those little synapses back there and fired a couple of them that you didn't know could fire. And He brought it to your mind, these truths. And it fit the need, and it took you out of despondency, out of despair, out of grief, out of discouragement, out of uncertainty. We could go down a big list, and God's Word does that. And because it's God's living Word, it makes a change in your life, and you know the teacher taught it to you. And you say, I never thought of that verse that way. And all of a sudden, those thoughts come to your mind, and as the Holy Spirit that indwells you, that takes that memory bank of yours and brings it to the forefront, those truths that you need to survive in this life to the glory of God. If He didn't teach you anything, you would be on a boat without an oar. He teaches, He carries us. We mature. Our progression, the progression through spiritual growth toward maturity is something that the Holy Spirit accomplishes. I mean, you can't set goals. You try to set goals. You say, well, I am going to be mature. I'm going to do A, B, C, D, E, F this year. And you make those decisions. You say, well, I'm going to be a great Christian because I'm going to read my Bible through 3 times a year. One year I decided, when I was much younger, that I was going to read my Bible through 5 times. And I did. And you know how much better a Christian it made me? None. Not at all. 5 times I read through the Bible. And then you say, oh, it should make you a better Christian. I was so stinking carnal. That was what we call a Galatian. I was trying to show people how righteous I was by reading the Bible. It meant nothing to me. But I read it. I had this little echo over here to my left. And that echo said, been there and done that. I don't know if I heard the echo up in front of me quite, but most of us have been there and done that. We try so many things. I've got spiritual goals. Let's use God's goals. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who meets the goals. When that happens, you'd be amazed how that works. I mean, most of you have been amazed. But at the end of a year or a period of time, you say, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit teach me and lead me into His Word and let Him meet my needs, and I'm going to keep my hands off. And you get there and you say, this has been the best year of my life, or the best 3 months of my life. And you say, why? You say, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything in those months. I didn't grab a bootstrap and pull. I didn't try to do it on my own. And the Holy Spirit did it, and you have matured, and you realize that you are a better Christian for not having done it yourself, but letting the divine teacher do it. This is a pretty practical subject we've been dealing with in the time we spend here at our meetings. It's Christian life. Three in me. To have three persons of the Godhead, and I'm always threatened to want to get a hand or somebody to raise hands when I've gone through some material, because I know there are a lot of Christians that haven't heard that Jesus Christ indwells them, even though you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. I know a number of Christians who don't have any idea of what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in their lives. And I know many, many Christians who don't realize the Father indwells us as a quality, and we have a quality of His divine nature. And I trust when we have that this information. To me, I have brought on the airplane an extra piece of baggage. It was a piece of baggage that I couldn't check and didn't have to go through security because they wouldn't understand it in the least. And it was a treasure chest. And I brought that treasure chest here with the purpose of opening it up and showing you some of the gems that are in the book. And some of the gems from a little bit of a different angle maybe than some of you have heard. Some of you have heard of them, and maybe this was the week that God wanted you to learn. And the Holy Spirit taught them to you. With these truths goes a responsibility. And that responsibility is not to grit your teeth and go out of here and say, I am going to do this. You go to lots of conferences where they say that. God doesn't want it that way. You don't grit your teeth. You relax and get out of the way and occupy yourself at the right hand of God with your mind as you think in terms of the things above. Colossians 3:4. Set your reclaimed frame of mind, your thinking on things above. Get them there. And that's out of the way. And you're up there with your hammer and nails and your little board. The only thing is, up there, it's all constructed neatly. And then God the Spirit can work through you, work in your life, and accomplish some things as you're out of the way. And then you have things that you can handle in your life. And as you mature, He brings you into what He and the other persons of Godhead are doing so that you can take your part then. It's passive before active. You have to let God do it before you are able to accomplish anything by the Spirit. Never, never take the Holy Spirit and shove Him aside and say He's done it before. So, I hope in this time as we share that this has been something we've accomplished and you've enjoyed some of the gemstones.
Amen.
That's all these are. Just some of the gemstones. And I'll hop back on the airplane, take the same treasure chest with me. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed sitting and looking at the gemstones. I've enjoyed looking at a whole lot more gemstones than I've been able to share with you. There's a lot more to this. I wanted to keep it so you can understand it. And looking at those gemstones and seeing God's grace in huge, huge kindness. All over. I think if we put a label on that treasure box, it would be grace. Get a pair of grace. And these are elements, and they're very, very important. So remember, three in me. Three in me. And the other side, me and three, but that's, like I say, another subject for another day. Me and three is different than three in me. Christ liveth in me. This week, the last couple of days, I've been having that song go through my mind, and I understand probably many of you don't know it, and some of you do. And the title is Christ Liveth in Me. Oh, what a salvation is that Christ liveth in me. And that's gone through my mind, and we sing that often in our little group of saints. So, you are all a blessing to me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it again, being able to be here to minister to you. My heart is filled with the desire that I know that every one of you is a child of God. I went through, some of you knew, some of you didn't, took your pictures individually. I found my way through an album with your pictures in it. I'm going to pick on you at the right hand. And what I'm saying is I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to take you to the right hand. And I would really love it if every one of you were there. If you're not, I'm still praying for you. But I want you to meet me there.
Yeah.
Because you're capable of being there as you're really a born again believer. And so I will be praying for you. And I have those as reminders. I have individual pictures, I think, from the last four conferences that I have that I can remember and share. And I can remember you. So I've invested something in you. I trust God, it's God's investment. And that investment will pay some dividends in your being better Christians for having been in God's Word in these days. Gracious Father, we so appreciate this privilege that we've had. How the time flies when we think of our God. A God who in a night watch is 1,000 years. And a God who is so magnificent that He provided a salvation for a bunch of fallen, depraved creatures. And yet, you have this given it to us by your grace. And, What a blessing it is when we think of our Lord Jesus, who came and died for our sins, when we deserved to die for everyone, but we didn't have enough deaths to die, and he in one could cover them all. And he was buried and he rose again, and that by faith in him, we could know that we were the children of God. Bless each one here, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
There we are.
Okay. All right. Shutting things off here, I didn't catch the note set.